Hello, this is Lisa Bonzel, the clinical editor for LippincottNursingCenter.com. I'm on the phone with Dr. Patrick Robinson, the Dean of the School of Nursing and Health Sciences at Capella University. Dr. Robinson has a wealth of experiences and achievements in academia and nursing leadership, as well as clinical expertise caring for HIV and AIDS patients. Today, Dr. Robinson and I will be talking about his journey in nursing, along with the work being done at Capella University and the Nurses on Boards Coalition to prepare nurses to be leaders in healthcare. Hello, Dr. Robinson. Thank you for joining me in this important conversation.
Hello, Lisa. Thank you so much. It is indeed my pleasure to be with you, and I'm so honored and been looking forward to our chat.
Wonderful. Thanks. We can jump right on in. And Dr. Robinson, can you tell us about your nursing experience, why you chose nursing as a career, and what got you to where you are today?
Certainly. So I'm a first career nurse, so went into nursing right out of high school. So I was 18 years old, and there's no big epiphany moment. You know, I wish there was this grand story about when I got the calling, but I don't have that. I was raised by a physician and a nurse, and they taught me by their living example that healthcare was a ministry. So I was drawn to that as sort of my noble way to live out my purpose. So sort of the entry was simple and non-dramatic. But my desire to be a professor and a scholar, well, that was a little more intentional. So as you mentioned in your kind introduction, I committed my clinical career to those living with HIV disease. And that was at a stage in the history of the disease that, well, it was incredibly hard for a lot of reasons. It certainly was hard emotionally on those of us who were caregivers. And, you know, as much as I tried to take care of myself, I found myself consistently returning to a state of despair, and it was cycling onto rage. So really it was out of that darkness that came my resolve to do something that impacted my patients on a grander scale, not just one by one individually, which I was very proud of and I certainly was satisfied with. And I was still quite young in my career. But part of my professional formation in my bachelor's and my master's by that point had been shaped by powerful nurse scientists, you know, luminaries in our field. So I decided that was the way I could make a difference, was becoming a nurse scientist. And that was how I was going to impact the health of my patients and enhance their quality of life. And, you know, that was the best decision I ever made.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Can you tell us about any memorable nursing mentors and what leadership lessons they imparted on you?
Thank you for that question, because it gives me the opportunity to honor. And I think everyone who gets somewhere has done it on the shoulders of a mentor. And I have been very privileged to have many mentors in my life. But the one that I want to talk to you about, Lisa, is Joan Shaver. Joan is currently the dean of the College of Nursing at the University of Arizona. And I've known Joan now for about 20 years. And Joan embodied everything that I wanted to be in a leader. And still to this day, she serves as my touchstone and my guidepost. It's funny, you know, in my private moments at home when my coping mechanisms have been taxed because of a work situation, we all get into those.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
My husband will often bring me off the ceiling by asking me, now what would Joan do? And he knows the incredible role she's played in my life. And, you know, when he says that, that sets me on my path of problem solving. So I'll share with you kind of three things that I think she taught me. And the first one is, don't be afraid of resistance. It's a natural and anticipated part of change. And you know what she also taught me is that it isn't even unhealthy. Second thing was, you have to let people grow naturally. And that's how she helped me. You can't prune them into a specific shape. Especially not one that necessarily fits your personal needs as a leader. You know, it's about that people's gifts are going to lead them in natural directions, and supporting them to meet a potential that is important to them, as opposed to, I don't know, significant by some external benchmark, that's true leadership. So a very important insight that she helped me see is that people have a spectrum or a spectrum for tolerance for change or even capacity for change. And she knew I was very high on the spectrum of, you know, not only tolerance for change, but in fact that I drew personal energy from change. So the lesson was that leadership is the ability to influence change through that dynamic tension.
Wow, those are some great words of wisdom from her. My next question, speaking of leadership, how does having nurses in leadership positions align with improved population health?
You know, population health is so complex.
Mm-hmm.
And is so vital to improving the health status of our nation. The complexity, you know, it involves deep understanding of biopsychosocial phenomenon, epidemiology, data science, social determinants of health, and the list goes on and on. So if you think about population health exemplifies the need for an interprofessional approach.
Right.
And I think it's an inarticulate way to say it, but healthcare organizations have to do population health. Those organizations deserve to have a nurse as part of their governance. That nurse is going to have unique skills and insights because they practice nursing. And those are going to help drive the organization and its ability to meet its population outcomes.
Absolutely, I agree. So can you tell me a little bit about what's happening at Capella University to prepare RN students to become leaders?
I am very proud of the team that I am a member of at Capella. Leadership development is very much a part of the mission of the School of Nursing and Health Sciences. My faculty colleagues in the school have actually identified it as a major concept in our curricular framework. So leadership competencies are developed during all programs and all degree levels. Now, as a university, we espouse a competency-based education model. What that means is that our faculty work with our external nursing leaders in practice to hone in on what competencies are needed to drive quality outcomes in this dynamic and sometimes chaotic healthcare environment. And that's true whether we are shepherding the formation of a generalist nurse at the baccalaureate level to be a practice leader, a specialist at the master's level who's preparing to influence system change, or a D&P learner who aspires to be a nurse executive. And we do this in a way that is through creating a highly engaging and supportive learning environment where we actually challenge our learners to demonstrate those leadership competencies through rigorous, authentic assessments.
That's wonderful. Wow. So do you have some advice for up-and-coming nurse leaders that you could share with us?
Well, I use the phrase creating your leadership playbook. Excuse me. creating your leadership playbook. And you continue to add to your playbook your entire career. In fact, I made a few entries this week based on some things I learned. So it truly is about lifelong learning and always adding those lessons to your playbook. So I think here are the three foundational plays kind of from chapter one of my playbook. Number one, more than anything else, people and their growth matter. They really matter. When you pay attention to that as primary, all else is going to follow. The second one is that one of the most important things a leader can do is to give their time and full attention. If you're going to be there, be present, which does mean being somewhat selective in terms of what you take on.
Right.
And even more importantly, and I think this one's hard because we all want to do everything and do it well, but it's even more important to be highly selective on those things that you choose to go deep on, because leaders really have to be at different depths on things in order to be successful. And I think in keeping with that is you have to get to a comfortable place in your limitations. Being a leader doesn't suggest that you have the technical competence or expertise in everything that you're leading. And I think that's a tough one when you move from expert, individual, contributor to leader. And I think the final one is about ego. ego will be one of your greatest assets and one of your greatest liabilities. Pay attention to it.
Yes.
Develop a reflective practice of monitoring and managing it.
Wow, that is great advice. I mean, for nurses in general, for nurses, assuming leadership positions, and also, these are really good life lessons in general. So thank you, Dr. Robinson.
Well, thank you.
Now, we got introduced through our through our different work that each of us does with the Nurses on Boards Coalition. So I wanted to touch base on the coalition. If you could tell me a little bit about why you think this coalition is important, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, I'm passionate about this one. I'm passionate about my work and Capella University's work with the Nurses on Boards Coalition. The work is critical, and it's critical because the work will have a strong impact on people's lives, on people's well-being and their quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Our work as the coalition is and will continue to impact patient outcomes, systems outcomes, and those population outcomes that we talked about just a bit ago.
That's right. I agree. Thank you. We're proud to be collaborating with the coalition and spreading the message.
Absolutely. And thank you for that partnership also. It's incredibly vital that we have wonderful partners like you working with us.
So I know from my own experience and from talking to other nurses, you know, hearing the word, do you want to join our committee or do you want to join this board, can be a little bit intimidating. So I'm wondering, what's the number one thing that you think prevents nurses from entering mm-hmm. leadership positions, mm-hmm. from joining boards? What are the barriers?
Yeah. Well, I think actually it's a tie for first place. So you're going to get two.
Okay.
I think the first one is that our priorities as nurses have not always been on making system or grander impact.
Mm-hmm.
Our socialization for decades was more about making individual impact, achieving power. Okay, power to make impact was not a goal. We weren't taught, mentored, or socialized like other professions,
right,
medicine, on how to leverage politics, rise within power structures, and achieve aspirational goals. So that's the first one. And then I think the second one is it's paradoxical, because while we are consistently voted among the most trusted of all professionals, there has traditionally been what I would say an air of sentimentality about us, which, you know, acknowledges our compassion and support, which is core and central to us, but obscures our professionalism and our independent scientific decision-making skills. Thus, you know, in the eyes of some in power, high-level governance may seem incompatible with our core strengths.
Right. Unfortunately. But
yes.
But we're working to change that.
Absolutely are.
So my final question is, how will having more nurses enter leadership positions, joining boards, how is this going to affect the future of nursing?
Well, you saved the simplest one for last, because, you know, the future of nursing is already amazingly bright. You know, that 18-year-old made a really good decision, and I'm very proud of him for entering this profession. We're certainly not where we need to be. But I, for one, am going to emphatically state that we have made a quantum leap since the Institute of Medicine published the Future of Nursing report in 2010. So more nurses on boards, hey, that's just one more element that makes that future even brighter.
Well, thank you, Dr. Robinson. What a wonderful conversation. You are inspiring, and you're doing such important work for Capella, for the Nurses on Boards Coalition, for our profession. So for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It was indeed a pleasure. And thank you and Walter Kluge for everything you do.